Okay, I want to talk to you about restoration of the kingdom. And it's kind of a follow-through with our last Bible study. And I got a revelation here I want to share, a pretty good confirmation revelation given to Jamie Michaels on 3:26 of 15. Now, it's important to note that these dreams are about using dates as signs of a repetition of what has happened in history, rather than just a letter timing, using the date for timing, okay? We've had quite a few of these, and it's really the answer to what many people think should be a date, a letter date timing, and what really God's talking about in some cases. So Jamie said, on the morning of the 20th of March, I received a very pleasant vision from our Lord and God, with the Holy Spirit giving me the proper understanding as it proceeded. It was a view of an abandoned farmstead now sitting in a natural grass and lightly forested area. Clearly seen as abandoned for some time, now to be in the state it is now, as mostly usually can be found across America, with only the barn yet standing. Okay, so the barn ends up being the important part here. And we believe that this is a picture of the run-down estate of the church, which is no longer working. She said it was a pleasant day with the sun shining brightly and a soft, gentle breeze of country fresh air. This barn was well used for various livestock. The church is full of beasts, those who walk after the mind of the flesh. And that's kind of the picture that the Lord sees the state of the church today. It's a barn full of livestock. She said, yet it began to come back to soundness as I was viewing it from a distance. And I believe this is a sign of the beginning of the restoration of the church, meaning the called out ones. And what was leaning and sagging seemed to straighten up and become sound as new, yet remaining well weathered. As I drew closer, I saw workmen stripping out the upper level. Being curious, I entered and saw them now applying new interior walls and flooring. The Holy Spirit informed me that this will now be a habitat for those of God's will and ways, and no longer a place for livestock. Well, meaning that the beastly people are going to be moved out, or in the process of being moved out, as God is doing with the factious, to make room for the sanctified people. You know, the Bible says, let no man take thy crown. Well, a lot of people are doing it in these days. They don't realize it. The crown of the bride, especially, it's being taken. And I believe we're coming to an end of this stage, which March 28th represents. Remember, we spoke about that in the last Bible study. So I want to continue with that. Signs of what this March 28th represents. You know, the beasts have been in the process of being moved out so that the restoration can come. Just exactly the picture we're seeing right here. I want to remind you of what Eve Brass said in our last teaching that we called the sign of crucifixion and resurrection of the man-child. By the way, before I go on, I want to remind you that the text part that we put on the site under this had at the bottom of it two pictures that were taken, one in the UK and one in Hawaii, of the sun with very perfect looking wings. And of course, it reminds us of Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, the sun of righteousness arising, sun there is S-U-N, by the way, with healing in his wings. And there you have two on each side of the earth of the sun arising with healing in his wings. And I do believe it's talking about the man-child ministry. So, let me go on with reminding you of what was revealed to Eve in our last episode so you can tie that into this. And in that article, Sign of Crucifixion and Resurrection of the Man-Child, she said, I asked Father a series of questions about March the 28th because of my dream about this when the Lord said to me, are you ready for March the 28th? Well, we found that March the 28th was a sign because it was a date in history when the Catholic, or meaning universal, church, apostate leadership tried to force the Jews as a type of God's people into an Antichrist covenant. But God visited with an earthquake that killed the false religious leaders that tried this, and the Pope quickly removed his edict. And this is a parable of the apostate factious leadership with the help of their Antichrist spirits trying to force God's people to submit to their false covenant and god of faction and witchcraft. And she said, number one, I asked Father to give me a verse for March the 28th, 2016, and received Psalm 64 and 8. My finger was on the words, shall be made to stumble, quote unquote. So they shall be made to stumble, their own tongue being against them, and all that see them shall wag the head. Well, the faction who war against the righteous with their tongue will stumble by falling into the pit that they made for the righteous. We know that God has ordained this faction to separate the wheat from the tares. Faction means separation, by the way. And that he's carrying on separating from his people those who are not growing, not bearing fruit, etc., etc. And it is for the purpose of sanctifying the people so that a little leaven doesn't leaven the whole lump, right? Okay. So I'm going on. She said, I then asked him, how will they be made to stumble? And I received Isaiah 51:21. My finger was on the words, afflicted and drunken. Well, this really well describes them. They're afflicted by witchcraft and faction and are out of touch with reality, meaning they are spiritually drunken. And number three, she said, I asked the Father if the man-child's anointing is connected to this date. Of course, we're discovering that this is not a date that is for timing. It's a date that shows us that history is about to repeat. Okay, not necessarily a timing. Okay, so I then asked Father if the man-child's anointing is connected to this date, and received Luke 8:1. My finger was on the words, soon afterwards. Oh, glory be to God. That would be neat. And it came to pass soon afterwards that he went about through cities and villages, preaching and bringing the good tidings of the kingdom of God, and with him the 12. Oh, praise the Lord. That's the beginning of the restoration of the kingdom. That's the beginning of revival there that the Lord is saying. And he's coming soon afterwards. Oh, thank you, Father. So, in other words, after the faction has gained all that they can gain of those that are like them out of the holy people and separated, then it will be time for the man-child and the beginning of the restoration of the kingdom. Praise be to God. You know, the anointed man-child company will lead the revival shortly after the Sennacherib scenario, or the Northern Army's defeat, as a type of the faction defeat. And as God said, they will fall in the pit that they laid for the righteous. How is this? Because their crucifixion of the man-child David's will catch them up to the throne so that they can defeat the faction movement and bring restoration. In other words, they're creating something that they cannot conquer. And just as an update, in the dream that the Lord said, are you ready for March the 28th? Could this soon afterwards be April the 11th? Which was a sign that was given to Eve where she was asked by the Lord, are you ready for April the 11th? The phrase is even similar, or the same actually, except for the date. It kind of lets you know that they're connected in some kind of way. Okay, we're going to discuss this later, because April 11th is also a sign. Whether it will one day be a date, we don't know. But we know that we're not going to know that date until it happens, because the scripture tells us that. We'll discuss that a little later. But also, today, as a matter of fact, this morning, Michael Hare asked, this is March the 27th, by the way, he asked what March 28th represented, and he got Job 1 and 15. How awesome. And the Sabaeans, which means plunderers, representing the factious, fell upon them, that is, the beastly, and took them away. In other words, cleaned out the barn. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only, meaning a remnant, am escaped alone to tell thee. This looks like the end of the cleaning out of the beasts from the barn, with the remnant left intact, doesn't it? Well, of course. How awesome God is to give verses so perfectly answering your question, you know. Well, I also asked what March the 28th represented, and got Mark 4, 24 and 25. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. In other words, those who listen to faction, which is the opposite of love, are going to be removed from the barn. Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you, and more shall be given unto you. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Once again, it looks like the cleaning out of the beast from the barn. You know, it's clear that what a person sows, they're going to reap. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you again. If they sow into their own field, faction, and so on and so forth, well, they'll be taken out. But the righteous will shine in the kingdom of the Father. That's what we're told. So it looks like the cleaning out of the beasts of the barn, and those who have not fruit will lose their place and their fruit. Two people that we knew had a tornado, which God says He controls, to take out the fruit trees that were all around their property. Even as everything else was miraculously left untouched. I mean, all the way around. And everything. The house, a greenhouse, this plastic, didn't touch it. Didn't touch anything. But it took out all the fruit trees that were around the property. Everything else miraculously left untouched. And these trees were Bradford pears. Some of you probably know what those are, but it has a tiny fruit, a little tiny fruit, which isn't even useful to feed humans. And of course, our life has to be enough fruit so that we can pass on what we've got, right? Well, that was the problem. They were losing their fruit. And this was a sign that they were about to be rejected because of leading a faction. And, of course, it came to pass. Some who fall into this will be delivered as the man-child casts out their demons, and others will be chastened by the beast in tribulation to come in order to come to repentance, and others will spiritually die and be reprobated. And the latter group are mostly among the evangelistic-type people that are leading the faction movement. In other words, they're out particularly trying to snag people and destroy their lives and bring them into faction by these demons, right? So, okay, I just wanted to quick touch on that so we can get back to Jamie's revelation here. She said, "The Holy Spirit informed me that this will now be a habitat for those of God's will and ways and no longer a place for livestock." I nodded in agreement, as all was now becoming a very spacious and well-redone living quarters that I would not mind even for myself personally. As from this upper level, one had a very great view of the natural countryside round about. Christ Jesus then stated most clearly, "My restoration will begin very soon." Okay, now, does this sound familiar? Cleaning out of the livestock, cleaning out of the factious, and the restoration will come soon. I mean, God told her, told Eve that, that did this have anything to do with the anointing of the man-child? And he said, what? Soon. So here it is again, my restoration. Man-child is the beginning of the restoration of the kingdom of God and the restoration of the church. My restoration will begin soon. In other words, after the barn is cleared out of the beastly, the man-child will be anointed to start the revival. That's kind of exciting, ain't it? And it's soon. This set very well with me in light of the assignment I was in the last stages of preparing for. Yet his word of restoration struck me personally as being most pleasant and lifted my personal spirit mightily, as though giving me new power and strength. Well, amen. That's exciting. This is not a word I use to describe the time of testing and trials, which for me personally I had always dreaded. Well, you know, this cleaning out of the barn is a time of testing and trials. You know, it's a test. It's a test to see who is going to keep their ground and who is not. Who is going to do things that are totally contrary to love and unity of the church, and who is not. It's a test. And sad to say, I think it's been on very strong since especially 2011 on. It's been pretty strong. But even before that, there were testings like that. She went on to say, yet with Christ Jesus using this term instead, it did once again lift my personal soul and spirit mightily to this very day. Knowing also that this was the eve of a new moon and the new year on God's calendar. All set very well with me as this vision ended and I awoke at 7 a.m. sharp. I am most usually awake well before then, yet it didn't matter at all as I was in the best of spirits personally. Yet. And this dream reminds me of Charlie Smith and Linda Smith's barn restoration dreams, which represent the same thing, the restoration of the church. It's a barn because it's a place for a harvest, right? It's a place for needed for raising crops. It's a place that's needed for so whatever. So praise God, you know, this is very interesting. And Jamie went on to say, on the morning of the 25th, I was awakened again at 7 a.m. sharp by a most disturbing vision of a dark sky blue pickup truck falling from the sky. Well, I knew about that, but she didn't know about this. This represents the judgment coming through the man-child body to the factious, as in Eve's dream, where after the bride was chosen, the man-child was revealed and took out the spirits that slaughtered the factious. Praise God. The dark sky blue pickup is my own. It's what I have. I have a Ford 2007 pickup, and it's a pretty sky blue, dark blue. And of course, this is as a type of the David man-child coming as the white horse rider to judge. It's falling from the sky, coming down from above. And the last dream that I heard of this pickup, this same pickup, I was driving it to the beginning of a revival. Well, it is, of course, just a vessel that represents the man-child vessel for the Lord to come in. Okay? So, you know, I hope you caught all that. But I knew it immediately. She didn't have any idea what this pickup represented, you know. But when she shared it with me, I knew exactly what it was, because we've already had that pickup show up a few times as a type in dreams. Okay? She said, the pickup destroyed everything round about when it struck the earth. Yeah, well, the vessel, like the white horse rider, is coming to bring judgment. Not only the beginning of the revival and the restoration of the kingdom, but these things. Even the very same make and model was destroyed nearby, and all the passengers it contained in a most violent fashion. Well, I'll go on. Being that there were several passengers now torn to bits, only one had his head attached to his body. Here's that massacre again, that dismemberment. She said the rest were totally dismembered. Well, this represents those members of our local body who have factioned, that were cut off from the body as factious people are dismembered. And the man with his head represents the leadership of the rebellion who is rejected for not having Christ's head, right? We give up our head in order to have Him as head, don't we? He is the head. We grow up in all things into Him who is the head. That's Jesus Christ. If you're obeying Him, you're bearing fruit. If you're not abiding in Him, you're not bearing fruit. And even that which you have will be taken away. That's what He says. Well, there was great compassion for all these in this pickup truck to be properly buried by others who arrived on the scene. And this is true. There is great compassion for those who have fallen away, their friends that we love. They weren't dealing with problems in their life that the Lord wanted them to deal with, and they weren't bearing fruit, so the Lord removed them because they would be leaven for what is coming. I got to tell you, a large group of people are coming here to take up the crowns of some people who left them to take up those crowns, to take up a ministry, and to continue on. But, you know, God, throughout larger UBM and beyond that, you know, has people that are in His bride. And the Lord has a job for them to do. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. The Lord is raising up the man-child to lead these people as a foundation for this revival. And it's exciting to me. I'm seeing pieces of it all come together from all different directions, and it's just exciting. Glory be to God. And Jamie said, this all happened most quickly. Only these details stood out as when these people were removed from this destroyed pickup truck. Only those completely dismembered were allowed to be brought into the local church for their services. Yeah, of course, you know, he's talking about burying the dead, you know. And of course, we pray for those people that fell into death, you know. If you don't love your brother, you're abiding in death, the scripture says. She went on to say the one who kept his head was to be attended to outside their encampment as this vision ended. Well, of course, the rebellious leadership is rejected from the camp. I mean, everything just so well fits. I was most disturbed by this vision for the rest of the day, as the only thing I could make of it was that something from above was soon to be revealed, just what I did not know, only that it would be a shock to me personally. Well, she said, as this vision worried me personally throughout the day, I decided to retire earlier than usual and spend extra time in prayer as well, for I must be missing something from our Lord and God, that I felt. Well, just after 9 p.m., I fell asleep. It seemed as though Christ Jesus was right there, as I did so and began to speak to me. He began to speak to me, stating most clearly, on the Day of Atonement of 2018, I will establish my kingdom of heaven here upon this earth. Count backwards to know the beginning of my restoration. 1260 days, he said. Well, you recognize that as the tribulation, first 3.5 years tribulation. In an instant, I was shocked awake. It was now 11 p.m. sharp. I was so surprised, a date given to count backwards from. I'll explain this in a minute. It's not what you think. It took a while for me to settle down and get up and get busy doing what he instructed me to do. March the 28th, there it is, 2015 was the date that I arrived at. But we're going to find out that the year doesn't make any difference, and the date is a symbol. Although it could actually be a date, we won't know it before the date because we don't know when the tribulation is going to start. Because Noah didn't know when the first day was going to start until the first day came. Okay? That's important. So God's not telling anybody, you know, when this is going to happen. And he didn't do it this time either, as I'm going to explain to you, you know. That March 28, 2015 was the date that I arrived at in total disbelief, as I always assumed there were events that preceded this timing that needed to occur before this was possible. Well, Jamie was right. There were things that had to come first, like the cleaning out of the beasts in the barn. So it couldn't come in 2015, although that was a symbol and it was a sign to her, okay? We're just now coming to that, I feel. That is the coming close to the end of the cleaning out of the beasts in the barn. And what needs to be understood is that the date of March 28th and the 3.5 years of tribulation to follow represent not the date, for we can't know that, because this date cannot be known until the very beginning of the covenant of the 7 years. Notice, those in the ark did not know until it began, not before it began. Genesis 7:4 says, "For yet 7 days," when was that spoken to him? At the very beginning of the 7 days, he got the revelation of the timing. Okay. Now, once you get this revelation of timing, you know everything about the tribulation, timing-wise, because it all starts from this first day. I'll read it again. Genesis 7:4, "For yet 7 days, and..." Well, then, after the 7 years, came the day of the Lord, for 1 year of wrath came. And, I'm going to read it again, Genesis 7:4, "For yet 7 days, and then the year of wrath, I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the ground." So, you see, there's the 7 days, then the great and terrible day of the Lord, which the Bible says is a year. Just like every one of the 7 days is a year, the great and terrible day of the Lord that follows them, according to the Scriptures, is a year. And it's a year to judge those who misused God's people during the tribulation. Okay? But you can go to Hidden Manna for the end times and get that exact timing for that. Okay? So, instead, the date represents the beginning of the restoration, as the cleaning out of the barn and the first 3.5 years of tribulation represents the restoration of the church, which is exactly what Jesus did as the man-child. See, we're just repeating history here, right? At the end of 3.5 years, the disciples were matured by coming into his image through his teachings and then receiving of his anointing so that they were ready to spread the kingdom beyond themselves. They were the kingdom at that time. And now they are ready to spread it. In other words, God created his church, his called out ones, and they were ready now to spread this good news. So you see, what Jamie received about the restoration of the kingdom is correct. They couldn't hand out what they had not yet received. So what they received from Jesus just before his crucifixion, which, by the way, I got to tell you, as I taught in Hidden Manna, I found that this crucifixion was twofold. It's in spirit at the beginning, and it's its soul in the middle of the tribulation. So you can go there and research that and see all the evidence that I give for that. Okay. So now we're coming to the end of the cleaning out of the barn and the beginning of the tribulation at whatever the physical date that it ends up being. What I'm saying is, we don't know that this is even a physical date. We know it's a spiritual date. We can't prove it's a physical date because you can't know ahead of time when it's going to start from the Scriptures. The Scriptures is our rock. It's our precedent. We know that Noah nor Daniel knew of the beginning of the days that they give us a quite particular account of. And they're both alike, the same number of days, everything, until the first day comes. You're not going to know. Okay? So we'll know at the very beginning of the 7 days. The Lord has been cleaning out the barn for several years now through faction. And it's exciting to see that we're coming to the end and ready for the man-child and the restoration. Glory be to God. It's exciting. We're getting there, folks. Just be patient with God. He's going to, you know, save all those that are his, right? And the rest, he's going to send them through the tribulation under the beast to come to repentance, hopefully, and so on, right? So, Jamie said, "While meditating on these personal facts, I was given to know that Christ Jesus mentioned that there would be 1260 days in restoration before the establishment of the kingdom age. Thus, the time is near at hand for the revealing of the man-child and the woman, and yet again, the flight into the wilderness, and the beast and the false prophet, as all else also. Just that none of these particular events will mark the beginning, for it will have already begun. And yes, with the cleaning out of the barn. So that's the cleaning out of the barn is, you know, where we are. Glory be to God. And we can't wait till it's over, because, you know, you just hate to see people that you love getting slaughtered. We actually watched and listened to a man that led a faction in our prayer meeting. At the moment he was slaughtered, the Lord made us know it. He screamed out in the middle of our prayer meeting like he was being slaughtered, butchered, literally screamed out. And then with his hands in his face in his hands, told us what he saw. He was falling into this deep, dark place with evil all around him at the moment of his slaughter. What that means is these demons took him over. He was no longer in touch with the Spirit of God from that moment on. And actually, he led a little faction from that moment on. And that's the same person that the fruit was taken away from. So you see, God is showing us. He is showing us. He is cleansing the church. If you're not willing to go on, if you're not willing to give up those things that the Lord has been asking you and dealing you with to give up, if you're not willing to be holy, if you're not willing to bear fruit, you'll get taken out. Because at least among the bride, he's not going to permit that. And later on, I believe this will be true, just like Ananias and Sapphira with the church. You know, he was very jealous for that early church because they were holy. He didn't want any unholiness to come into their midst. And when Ananias and Sapphira tried to deceive the early church, God struck them dead. And Peter said, You haven't lied unto men, but unto God. And the factious do the same thing. They lie unto God. I've had them lie unto me and get taken out. I've watched that recently. A person lying unto me, and then he was gone, taken out. God didn't permit it. So, you know, after this March 28th, the next sign given, I believe, was April the 11th. When earthquakes was the sign and the coming of the man-child. Very, very interesting. Remember, the same thing was said to Eve in both of those revelations. Are you ready for March the 28th? Are you ready for April the 11th? Again, we're not talking about a date. If it is the date, we're not going to know it until it happens. But we know that from history, it is a sign of what is going to happen. So God very neatly hid this. You know, it's the glory of God to conceal a thing and the glory of kings to seek it out. Oh, glory be to God. So I want to bring you to that April the 11th revelation, which Eve Brass got back in 6 of 08, the 6th month of 08. We called it First Fruit Man-Child Harvest. Okay? And as you know, one of the signs of the coming of the man-child is the big earthquakes. We've had that in dreams. Oh God, we just thank you for opening our eyes and showing us wondrous things out of your word. And Eve said, I dreamed that Eddie, my husband, and I were driving out to Ellie and Dan McBride's house. They are a local sister and her husband with whom we have Bible studies once a month. In other words, this is back in 08, you know, because Eve's not there anymore, you know. Eve is here with us, which she also had a dream about coming here and being with us. And it happened. It came to pass. Probably more than one, but at least one I can think of, okay? So at that time, she was having Bible studies with them. She said we were all in a brand new white pickup truck with a top off the line green, a top of the line, I see, green John Deere ride on tractor mower in the truck bed. Eddie and I were happy and excited. Hey, because they're going out to the harvest here. Yeah. We were going to harvest Ellie's land, which means cut down the flesh. And all flesh is as grass, right? Hey, that's what the harvest is. That's what bearing fruit is. You got to cut down the grass, right? Ellie and Dan had moved to a large, older, but very nice white farmhouse. And I updated this in February of 2012. They are moving very soon, and they have by now. They have moved and so on and so forth into an older but nicer home as a sign of the time of the fulfillment of this dream. Well, amen. They are there now so that this can be fulfilled, right? There were quite a few acres of land, and when we pulled up next to the house, Ellie was there to greet us. And when we got out of the truck, I said, "We're going to have to hurry. It looks like it's going to rain." Yeah. The latter rain anointing on the man child, right? And as you know, when this revival comes, there's going to be more than one anointing. Much of the church hasn't received the former rain anointing, and they will receive that. But the man-child is going to be the first to receive the latter rain anointing, which, like Jesus, gave away to the body 3.5 years later. So it's a perfect repetition of history. So Eddie said, that's her husband, Eddie said, "Oh, we're not going to be able to do anything today because the rain, and besides, it's going to be dark soon." Dark meaning tribulation soon, right? So Eddie left the truck and went inside the farmhouse to eat and enjoy the harvest celebration. And Eve here represents the bride. So, because she was the bride of Adam, and Jesus is the last Adam. And of course, Jesus and the man-child is the last Adam, so she's the bride, right? The first dream was given to me on 4/09. Here is the portion of it in context. The angels pulled up to the hospital. It was dark. Early morning, just before the dawn broke, and I went up a stairwell to the second floor to find my assigned locker in the nurse's lounge and to place the food and drink that had been provided for me in the locker. And suddenly, many children dressed in army BDUs came filing past me. Getting ready for something, some event. I believe that these are the man children preparing to do battle. They have their army BDUs on, right? And as I looked up from them to my right, I saw the commander of all the troops. And I knew him instantly, even though I had never met him. So here's the bride meeting the Lord, right? The commander of all the troops. I had never met him. His name was, Adam. The last Adam, that's Jesus and the man-child, right? And I said his name as we hugged and greeted each other with great joy. Yes, I think that will be an awesome time. And we were both the same rank. You say, well, how could that be? Well, they have the same authority because Jesus lives in the bride. Amen? And you know what? When Jesus lives in you, you're in total agreement with everybody else. You know, you don't have to be ruled over with a rod of iron, obviously, because you hear the same things that the Lord hears. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. So, I mean, you and Jesus are obeying the same Father. Amen. And Jesus in you is obeying the same Father. So, after he hugged me, he asked me with excitement and great joy, are you ready for April the 11th? Now, what is the Lord so excited about? Well, I put an update in here. A sign was given on April the 11th, which was a record for large earthquakes around the world. Also, the largest strike-slip earthquake on record, 8.6, happened. It moved the earth 70-plus feet. We have been shown that these large earthquakes are coming at the time of the coming of the man-child ministry. And I linked there also a video, probably some of you saw it, about 4 foot of hail that fell in Texas on the 11th. 4 foot of hail. Good gracious. I said, I sure am. He says, are you ready for April the 11th? And she said, I sure am. He said, well, okay then. Put your things away and report to operating room 6. Well, she was an Army nurse, so God talked to her in ways that she understood, you know. And, of course, we know that we are a hospital for healing the sick, spiritually speaking. And we are nurses and we are doctors and we do our work to restore, you know, broken lives. I said, yes, sir. Then I woke up. Operating room 6 represents cutting off the flesh and death to the old man. And I remember the rest of the dream, and that literally was what was happening. And instead of saving the old man, we were killing him. That's the only way you can save your life. I mean, is to kill the old man. So here we were in the hospital saving the new man from the old man. Got to cut him off. And the Father gave me Song of Solomon 8:6 for the operating room number 6. Well, notice that the verse 8:6 was also the size of the largest slip fault quake on April the 11th above, an 8.6. Could this be foretelling the slip faults in the Tennessee boat going off on a future April 11th, or what this date represents in history? Now, we know that part, what it represents in history. Can it be on that date? We don't know, and we won't know until it happens. Because God's not going to tell us ahead of time when that day or hour is coming. And it's a day of many great quakes and a slip fault quake. So April 11th also represents when the man-child's coming. This Song of Solomon verse says that Jesus is the seal upon the bride's heart. But the verse numbers and title is what the Lord magnified to me. 8 is the number of Jesus, and 6 is the number of man. So Jesus in man is the man-child, and this is completed in spirit at the anointing and sending. Okay? This is also when the groom and the man-child and the bride find each other, which is the story of Song of Solomon. Remember how they greeted each other with great joy. They hugged, greeted each other with great joy. Isn't that awesome? God loves to put together that picture. That's going to be an exciting day. I don't know about you, but it's going to be an exciting day. Thank you, Father. Lord, we've been waiting for you for so long, Lord. It's been something like 43 years for myself. I said, just waiting for you to come and studying everything about you and, you know, and trying to be ready for that day. And by the grace of God, we all will be. Thank you, Father. Thank you. And she said, the second dream was given to me on 4 of 09. And here's a portion of that context. I went back to the barracks tent, and I saw the same commander of all the troops named Adam. He was supervising our preparation for the road march we were going on. What is the road march? It's that march into the wilderness, escaping the beast who was drowned in the Red Sea, you know. It's a kind of a Passover. And we got a Passover coming. So, I mean, it's before the tribulation. There is a Passover coming. Remember, they had the Passover. Then there were 7 days to the Red Sea. Then they went through the Red Sea, which was another type of the Passover, literally, before going into the wilderness, which we know is, from Revelation 12 and Revelation 17, the tribulation. So before the tribulation, we're going to have this Passover. And in a way, this is just in one way, if you are standing the test of the faction, there's a Passover. The old man is being taken out, the Egyptian, and the Israelite is going into the wilderness. Are you standing the test? Then there's a Passover. You see, a Passover for you. Is that the only one? No, I don't think so. I think we got something big coming here. Anyway, she put a note. I had also, at the beginning of a fast, asked the Father for a dream to explain the meaning of April the 11th, back in 2013. Up until the end of the second day, I had not received one, and I wondered why. And I heard in my spirit the morning of the third day. So I realized the Father was going to give me the dream on the morning of the third day. Well, do you remember in Hosea 6, 2 and 3 that the Lord comes? When the Lord comes, He comes as the latter rain on the morning of the third day. He comes as the man-child to lead the woman into the wilderness. Well, it's neat how God puts these parables together. He's hiding these things from the wise and prudent and revealing them unto babes. Amen? Oh, thank you, Father. You are so good. Open our understanding, Lord. We trust in you. Lord, we know it's line upon line, here a little and there a little, and we don't always get it right up front, but you keep adding your understanding to us and eventually opening the understanding of these things. And it's exciting because we're eagerly looking forward to your coming, Lord. We're eagerly looking forward to you leading us through this wilderness. Amen. Thank you. And Eve said, when I woke up, I wrote it down. It's along the same theme as the other dreams about April the 11th. And we're packing to go somewhere. And also, it reminds me of the Moses being anointed as we all started packing to go somewhere and ended up on the trailer, pulled by a John Deere tractor. The bride was in the trailer in that particular dream, pulled by the John Deere tractor, and Moses was driving into the wilderness with the woman in the back, you know. And, of course, that's the harvest, you know, so praise God. That's why it's a John Deere tractor, right? It's going to the harvest. And you know nothing runs like a deer, right? Anyway, dream in 2013, she said, I dreamed that my husband Eddie and I woke up. She's putting together a bunch of different dreams to help us get this understanding. Eddie and I woke up between 4 and 4:30 a.m. before dawn to prepare, along with our other brethren who were camping near us at this campsite. And, you know, we all consider ourselves here as just camping. We know that something more permanent is coming, more permanent dwellings. Most everybody here is just renting because of that, because we want to be in the right spot at the right time. And so this understanding here is not new to us. So we were camping. They were camping near us at this campsite, and we were to pack up our belongings and to move to a more permanent dwelling place. We understood that too, because we've all expected that. And so leaving what has been only temporary housing to go to our more permanent home in the wilderness tribulation, right? That's what that's talking about. She said, my husband and I had been camping in a one-room white rectangular structure that seemed to be a contractor's temporary office building. Yeah. Well, we're building something, aren't we? Yes, we are. We're laying the foundation for what is to come. And the Mantile is going to come and build that building. It had forest green carpet, and one wall was missing so that it was open to the outside and you could see into it. Well, the walls on the inside were also white. And several brethren around us had large army green pop-up tents and coolers and other camping gear. Before we were to leave this place, all the men and the elders were going to have a one last men's prayer breakfast and fellowship in a dining hall made of logs. Could that represent the Passover of the man-child before the final crucifixion? Well, that could be. She said it was like a log cabin style off to the right of our compound, our campground. So my husband took our three sons, Noah, Elijah, and Josiah, with him. I stayed behind with the other women to pack up our belongings into a brand new shiny white enclosed trailer that in real life my husband has bought to transport his lawn mowers and equipment in for his lawn business. Well, there you go. We're back to cutting grass here, aren't we? That's the harvest, folks, cutting down the grass. As the outer man is decaying, the inner man is being renewed day by day. So you just got to cut down the old man, like in the hospital. They were putting to death the old man to save the new man, right? And when my husband returned from the breakfast, dawn was breaking. Aha! So we hooked up the trailer to my husband's white truck and headed out of the old campsite area, in other words, going to that more permanent place, with the other brethren and headed for our new destination. Yep, that's in the wilderness where this is all coming. She called it the morning of the third day. And that's, of course, where we are now, the morning of the third 1,000-year day since Jesus came. But this is where it starts. Amen. So then she said, back to the second dream. He again asked me, are you ready for the 11th? Well, the quakes are a sign to go into the wilderness because the land has been prepared. They're a sign of the coming of the man-child, which in many dreams, that's when he showed up during this time of great earthquakes, when, by the way, people will be prepared for a revival. You remember how September the 11th, people ran to the churches. Well, they didn't stay there very long because they didn't find anything of sustenance there, right? Well, this time, God is preparing something for them to eat. Amen? I said, I'm having trouble finding my BDU shirt, and asked him if he would flip the light on so I could see better to find it, because we had all been packing our rucksacks in the dark. So, this is, of course, I believe, talking about Jesus turning on the light so that the bride can get dressed to get ready for the marriage feast in the tribulation. Get ready for that April the 11th, right? Praise God. I then found my shirt with ease. So, I mean, if you're getting close, folks, and you know it, you know you got to get dressed up to be ready for the April the 11th sign, well, then ask the Lord to turn the light on. Ask Him to give you understanding of where you are and where you need to be and what is wrong, and then do something about it. I mean, that's why people are taken out by faction, is they didn't do anything with what the Lord was showing them. They weren't bearing fruit. The tornado come and took away the little bit of fruit they did have. So, I then found my shirt with ease and was able to put it on just before the road march began. Just before the tribulation. You can't make this up in a dream, folks. You're out cold, you know. This is the Lord talking here. And anyway, you know, some of you may be ready just in time. Pray to the Father. Love Him. Desire Him. Ask Him to turn the light on, right? Ask Him right now. Ask Him to turn the light on. Father, in the name of Jesus, for the folks that are listening, Lord, we ask You to turn the light on so they can get dressed up in the Lord Jesus Christ and His works to be ready for this tribulation. Amen. And especially to be in the bride so that they can have a special place in this tribulation like Esther did. In the tribulation of the people of God in her day, right? Amen. The Father had given me Micah 4, 4 and 5 for this dream. And this verse says that they will eat of the fruit and not be without fear and will walk in the name of the Lord. In other words, eat the fruit and be without fear. And will walk in the name of the Lord. That's what this verse talks about. These dreams were doubled. Well, that means they're surely going to come to pass, according to Joseph, right? How awesome the Father is. Amen. I had decided to take the new John Deere tractor out of the truck over to some shelter because it was going to rain. Well, there's a time for the rain. There's a time for the outpouring in order that God's people can go into the wilderness. You remember the Israelites on the bank of the Red Sea there, and they were getting ready to go into the wilderness, which is the tribulation period. But Paul talked about how that they received a baptism in the cloud and in the sea. The baptism in the cloud, of course, is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the sea is the baptism in the water that puts to death the old man so you can go into the wilderness without him. Praise God. The wind was picking up and the dark storm clouds were gathering above us. Hey, that's getting ready for the tribulation, isn't it? Yeah. The latter and the former rain outpouring as the tribulation approaches. Eve had a dream of Moses, the man-child, driving a giant John Deere pulling the trailer with the bride in it. And it was in spring. Literal or spiritual. I hope it's literal because I'd like to see this get on the road here. And they were going into the tribulation wilderness for the harvest. That was a neat dream. Eddie, her husband, had a special winch that would slowly lower the tractor onto a slide-out ramp that slid out from the back of the truck. Before I could hook it up to the tractor, Ellie had pulled up behind the truck bed with her special trailer and winch, which she hooked to the tractor, pulling it onto her special trailer. She then parked it under a covered area that had a shed roof that was attached to the barn. The barn. There's that barn again. The barn was across from the house, about 100 feet from the house. Well, 100 means that the harvest will begin in the fullness of time. Right? 100 is fullness. So Eve said, hooking up the special trailer of light will not be done by our own strength. Deb says Ellie means light. So this is that special trailer of light that carries the John Deere that cuts off the flesh. And it's her special trailer that is pulled by the John Deere tractor in this dream. It's the same trailer the bride rides on in the revelation of Moses driving the tractor with the trailer over the waters. Over the waters. And matter of fact, in that dream, they were going to the whole world. The man-child with the bride in the trailer were going to the whole world. Oh, praise you, Father. Yep, this is a harvest that's going to be throughout mankind. It was almost dark now, and there were about 30 to 40 UBM brethren at this celebration. And I believe that this could be the celebration of the first fruits harvest. And that happens in spring, as you know. And we've had three revelations of 12 man-children who are in UBM. But we've also said that this could be a representation of the fruits from the 12 spiritual tribes. In other words, 12 is not the physical number. I don't think it is. I think we have more than that. No doubt in my mind that there are many more than that in UBM. Because the unleavened bread is what you make man children with. And we like the Word of God, right? And, of course, the man-child is coming to feed the real unleavened bread. We do the best we can with what we got, and God's given us a gift for that. But the man-child, who is Jesus in a body of the people of the Son of David, is going to come and bring us the absolute, perfect, unleavened bread. Amen. I'm just preparing for Him, right? Amen. Ellie and Dan had Japanese lanterns hung from lines that were strung between the trees in the front yard. The atmosphere was peaceful and happy. That's just before going into the tribulation with the tractor, right? I had a sense that Ellie had been farming for a while. She met us dressed in denim jeans and a matching shirt with boots and a dark blue bandana tied around her neck. So she's ready to go to work in the fields, right? Ellie, the light, the bride, the man-child, they're ready to go to work in the fields. The fields are white unto harvest. Pray the Lord of the harvest that He send forth laborers, Jesus said, right? Oh, praise God. Well, this is a good time to pray it, you saints, because it's true. It's a good time to pray it. This place felt like home and safety. although I was concerned about the storm clouds that were forming. Can you see the storm clouds forming?
I can see them.
I went over to the barn, and it was like a huge, empty warehouse in which to store the next day's coming harvest. Yep, God's all prepared for this harvest. He's excited. I am too. I looked to my right and saw a long flight of stairs with a door at the top that led to what I thought would be a loft area. So I went up the stairs and opened the door, and there was a very long hallway that was lined with rooms on my right. The doors of all the rooms were opened, and each room had a window. There was beautiful golden sunlight streaming through the windows, through each room, and then into the hallway. This is the place where the harvest is coming. This is where God's going to put His harvest, right? There were no shadows anywhere, and the light was evenly distributed throughout the whole area. And I knew that this place was not located anywhere on earth. It was heavenly. And of course, we walk in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. But we do that while we're on the earth. And that's what this is talking about. Each of the rooms was nicely furnished with quaint country-style furniture like a bed and breakfast. And this is that refuge of rest in heavenly places in Christ on earth. Sad that so many people are waiting till they get to heaven to get the benefits of the kingdom, because then they're going to miss out on what they've been given here and now. You enter heaven here. You don't enter heaven there. Okay. Most of the church does not know this, and that's sad because they're not bearing fruit. They're not preparing. They think they're preparing to fly away, but they're not. So, in this place, there were no worries, and everything was peaceful. That's what the rest is, folks. The kingdom is entering into the rest because you have believed God's promises. When you believe God's promises, you just rest from your works. This is the important thing that the Lord wants us to see. There was a sweet breeze blowing in through the lace curtains on the windows. I went to the loft to check on one of my sons, and this seemed to be where all the children stayed. Noah had been out by the truck. Noah's, of course, representative of those who are in the ark. They don't have to worry about the flood. They don't have to worry about the seas. They're in the ark of God's protection, who is Jesus Christ, right? Noah had been out by the truck, all excited about the new tractor, when Ellie and I were unloading it. And I heard and I saw Nathan, who was my friend Cindy's 10-year-old son, coming up behind me and passing me in the narrow hall that led to all the rooms. He was excited about the new tractor and the celebration. Are you excited about this coming marriage feast, this coming harvest time, this coming ability to harvest the crops because of the anointing of the Lord and the word of the Lord going forth? I'm telling you, we're all going to be expert evangelists in this day come. God's going to have us bringing in His harvest. And it's going to be by His strength, His wisdom, His anointing. I went into the room to check on my son, who wasn't born of my flesh as a physical son of mine, yet he was born of me somehow. Well, this is Eve, the bride's spiritual fruit of the man-child. You know, let me point out something to you. The man-child is a part of the body of the bride. Just as David was a part of Jerusalem, which in Revelation John is told is the bride, right? So David was a part of Jerusalem, and he was a part of the bride body. He was also the leadership for the bride body, and that's what the man-child is, right? He was asleep on the right side of the bed nearest to the window, and I sat down on the edge of the bed, so his back was toward me, and he was lying on his stomach. I placed my hand gently on his back to wake him. He didn't have a shirt on, only some white pajama pants. I didn't have to speak out loud to him. We talked to one another in our minds. Well, this kind of communication is possible through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? This is a spiritual communication. It's not telepathy. It's a spiritual communication between the bride and the man-child. Why is that? What makes this capable? Well, how can two walk together except they be agreed? First of all, we come into unity of the doctrine of the faith, which enables us to cooperate with God in this process and enables us to know exactly what one another's all about and to hear from the exact same Spirit. So you see, this is very important. The Word of God will bring us into unity, the unity of the faith, the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God, and the unity of the knowledge of the gospel. All this. As I placed my hand on his back, he turned over on his back and smiled at me with the most beautiful, radiant smile, and his teeth were white and perfect. Everything about this son was beautiful, peaceful, easy, and perfect. There was no contention or rebellion in him at all. It was like he was a mixture of all races. That's true. His skin was so smooth and like golden brown from no blemish anywhere. His hair was brownish, golden blonde with long, soft curls. He had soft, kind, obedient brown eyes with gold eyelashes. Well, this is the first fruits man-child, the first fruits harvest of all nations. That's why he's a mixture of all races. This man-child is all over the earth, reaching the whole earth. Jesus came to Israel because it was right for him to go to those of the covenant first. But Jesus couldn't go to the whole world in that physical body. He left that physical body in order to come back in a corporate body so he can do the same ministry in the end time to the church, which is the New Testament spiritual Israel. Now, you see, the harvest is much bigger. So you need a lot more people. And the beginning of that is the first fruits man-child harvest, right? And that's what she's looking at there as this son, this first fruits man-child harvest that God is going to use to bring in the revival and the harvest. Amen? We communed together in our minds and we told him it was time to get up. And I told him it was time to get up. And he repeated the phrase back to my mind in my own voice. In an adult joking way, like my husband does when I'm mothering him. And I laughed a little because I was embarrassed that I was telling this son what to do. Because of his perfection, he had a lot of power, but his power came from his love for me and his obedience. Now, that's strange, huh? No, not really. Just as Jesus obeyed Mary, but was more mature in God. Yeah. I mean, even the man-child has to do everything according to law, according to the Word, right? Not the law of the Old Testament, but the Word. Anyway, my mind laughingly said to him again, "Yes, it's time to wake up." In other words, yeah, but the man-child was turning and saying to her, "It's time to wake up," right? And I tickled his ribs, and he stiffened and rolled back and forth in the bed, and we laughed together. So now it's what? Time to go to work. Wake up and go to the harvest, right? There were servants dressed in tuxedos who were going in and out of the rooms. They were carrying silver trays with fruit and bread. The servants were so quiet that I barely noticed that they were there. I believe these probably are the angels, you know, sent forth to do service for them that are heirs of salvation, as Hebrews says. At some point, my son and I ate together, but without visibly eating from the tray. It's because our eating spiritual and heavenly food is the Word of God, partaking of the Holy Spirit, right? It was like a vision in our minds where we were feeding each other the fruit and the bread without our flesh doing the eating. In other words, partaking of the spiritual bread from heaven, the Word of God, right? Amen. I then hugged him and left the room. I favored him above my husband and my other three boys, in the natural, I'm sure. I treated him with more respect than my husband and loved him more dearly than any of my children. And I know that this love will be between the bride and the man-child. And, of course, the people that come out of the bride because they have failed the test, they don't really love the man-child. Matter of fact, they hate the man-child. And the man-child born of the woman bride, who is born of the woman church, is who we're talking about here. We had an adult relationship as with a husband and wife, but also as with a mother and child. I could talk to him as an adult, but he was willingly obedient to me as a son. Again, like Mary and Jesus. And when I was with him in this place, I never felt more happiness or more at peace. I gave him a big hug and kissed the top of his head, and then went back downstairs. Amen. It was like when she met the leader of God's army here on earth. She loved him, hugged him, was glad to see him for the first time. She knew him before, but had never seen him. But now, suddenly, there he is. And this is going to happen. There are going to be people like the bride who are going to recognize this man-child. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. That's what John said about Jesus and the people that first followed him. And by the way, they first followed him out of the denominations of Judaism, right? Which is a type for us today. The first fruits to come out from among them and to follow the man-child, recognize him and follow him, that's the bride. As I came out of Ellie's barn, it was dusk, and a huge tornado was forming and coming out of the sky to the right of the house. To the right of me was a large carousel that had been there before. Well, tribulation is coming to our life in this world, represented by the carousel, which is a cycle of make-believe life and non-reality, right? She said it had wooden horses and tables and chairs and a glass wall made of big plates of glass fastened together that ran about waist high around the outside edge of the carousel. It was beautifully decorated and decadent, with a restaurant in the center of it. The carousel was at a standstill, even though it was in working order. Yeah, well, it's broken, and the world is broken. And the people of God, of course, are hopefully seeing this and coming out from among them, right? People were dining in the carousel restaurant, feeding on the words of the world, the ideas of the world, right? I looked to the left side of the carousel and saw Dan dining at one of the outer tables near the glass wall. Even though Dan was sitting at this table, he was not eating, but only staring intently towards the center of the carousel. And she goes on to say, below is an explanation of this carousel and the table Dan was sitting at. But going back to her text, she said, none of the UBM brethren were eating the food on this carousel. Oh, praise God. That's good news. We're not to partake of the world, but the unleavened bread of God's Word. If we partake of the world, it's kind of like the three Hebrews dining on the king's dainties, right? Because they didn't dine on the king's dainties, they didn't bow down to the image of the beast. So many people are partaking of the world, spending time with the world, studying the world, listening to the world's ideas, the world's news, the world's lies, especially in politics. I noticed white and pink pieces of paper trash like little post-it notes all over the carousel floor behind the glass wall. They were multiplying exponentially. Yeah, I can see that. Like popcorn in a popcorn maker until they reached the top of the glass wall. I saw some other brethren on this carousel, but the trash was so thick it was getting hard for anyone to walk around. The paper reminded me of all the ticker tape that's left over after a day of trading on the stock market exchange. Yeah, lots of trading, buying, and selling at the time just before the economic crash, right? And, you know, Jesus spoke of the buying and the selling, you know, as a negative thing. It's the way of the world, isn't it? At this point, the huge tornado, which I believe probably is economic turmoil, was beginning to touch down behind this carousel. The wind was blowing really hard, and I could feel little wooden splinters hitting my face and body on the left side. Eddie had jumped off the carousel to help me try to move the tractor into the barn. And all of a sudden, up in the sky and to my right, I heard a booming voice say, "Let it burn, let it burn, let it burn." Then all the paper trash spontaneously burst into flame and intense heat and fire consumed it. Yep, that could be the economy. It is, I believe, the economy. But also it could be all the ideas of man, all the hope that people put in man, especially in a season like this where they're trying to elect a president that they think is going to save them. And he ain't. So, you know. It's just, you know, when our hope in man is totally dispelled, and all our hope is in God and faith in Him and His promises, then we'll be walking totally in the kingdom. Amen. And Luke 17:28 says, likewise, even as it came to pass in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But in the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. After the same manner shall it be in the day that the Son of Man is revealed. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, come quickly, show yourself, bless us with your presence. Could this also be a hint of the paper trash dollar becoming worthless? I think so. Ellie and the other UBM brethren were walking around in these flames unharmed, but the other people were burned up. Yeah, I think that probably means that people's life savings are going up in smoke in the crash, which will not destroy the saints whose treasure is laid up in heaven and are not into buying and selling and storing up on earth, right? You'll notice that here that in the economic fall, they will manipulate the stock market to distract people and somewhat cover for the true disaster unfolding. Then the latter rain and, of course, the man-child will come. Amen. Oh, happy day. Well, not in the world. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, as Jesus said, but you'll have this great comfort of the kingdom of God, the promises of God, the presence of God, the leadership of the Lord Jesus in the man-child, right? Remember in Ezekiel 34, he said he was going to shepherd his flock, but also David was going to be there working for him. Eddie and I were watching this happen as we stood next to the tractor under the covered area of the barn. And of course, it's the place and the time mentioned above when the man-child harvest is to begin, right? And after the fire went out, I heard the same voice say, "Let there be light, let there be light," in a very joyful and almost laughing tone. Well, the former rain man-child came with great light, and so it will be with the latter rain man-child. Amen? How awesome the Lord puts these puzzles together for us and blesses us mightily, right? Amen. I love these parables. And Matthew 4 and 16 says, "The people that sat in darkness saw a great light. To them that sat in the region and shadow of death, to them did light spring up." And I believe that this is about to be a time of great joy in the midst of grief and worldly loss and trouble. People are going to lose their respect and their trust in the world, in its finances, in its leadership, etc. This will be a good time. "The light broke forth from behind the carousel somewhere and started piercing through Ellie and all of our Bible study group toward Eddie and me, and we were watching. I woke up right before that light hit my chest. I was focused on Ellie because she was facing me, and it was like the light pierced through her back and shot out of her chest towards Eddie and me. And at the same time, I was going down and out her fingertips. Excuse me, it was going down and out of her fingertips and out of her face, from her mouth, and everywhere that it could shine forth from." That's the glory of God, saints. The glory, the epiphania, the shining forth from the saints of the glory of God. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory. A star glory, moon glory, and sun glory. The brightness of the coming of the Lord in His people. And that's when I woke up. while the light of heaven, the truth, is coming through the man-child ministry of the latter rain anointing to and through the bride. Exciting, exciting days coming, saints. And she's sharing a portion of a dream the Father gave on 6 of 08 that explained the carousel that's mentioned in this dream we just shared. She said, I dreamed that I and my other UBM brethren were children in an indoor amusement park on a field trip. You know, Jesus said, the field is the world, and in the world you will have tribulation. We were waiting in line to ride the two rides in this park, a carousel and a small roller coaster. As we got closer to the gate of the carousel, it lost its color and turned shades of gray, meaning, you know, the world is in the throes of death, you know. And when our eyes are open to see the truth, we see that all that is of the world is of the beast, right? Amen. She went on to say there was not an attendant for the carousel, but there was for the roller coaster. There were chairs facing inward towards the carousel center and wooden horses dispersed throughout. But this carousel was plain, with no decorations, no tables, only chairs facing the inner wall. The world can't see anything but itself, can they? As I sat down in one of the chairs, the first part of Revelation 3 and 21 appeared on the inner wall of this carousel. It says, He that overcometh, I will give to him to sit down with me in my throne. You know, we've been put in this world to be tried so that we will overcome all that is of it, right? Eve said, I then realized that this was the exact same chair Dan McBride had been sitting in, and I was seeing what he had been looking at in the dream above. This gray, plain carousel without all the fancy distractions and with the scripture in the center is the overcomer's carousel that we walk on, even though we are on the world's carousel. Yeah. We don't care for the things, for the glitter, for all the stuff that the world thinks is important, right? We're in a cycle that's like a carousel, a cycle, that's going heavenly with every loop. They're in a cycle that's going to hell with every loop, you know. So even though we're in the world, we're not of the world. And the things that the carousel offers to the world, the worldly carousel offers to the world, we don't care about. We don't have time for that. Well, after this, we went to ride the roller coaster. Its attendant was the death angel. Yeah. And it's a roller coaster, you know. The thing that levels you out is God's Word, right? The straight and narrow is God's Word. But the world, it's up and down. They're moved by everything they see, right? It's up and down, up and down. And it's the end of it is the way of death. But we have to eat the Passover lamb, so he cannot harm us. That is the death angel, right? He couldn't hurt me, Eve said, because I had my iPod on that had all the UBM teachings downloaded into it. Praise the Lord. And of course, that's the teachings of the Word. That's the thing that's going to save us from the death angel. That's the thing that's going to give us the Passover, right? As Ellie and Matt Weller and I, local UBM brethren, got on the roller coaster, I heard the death angel say as he threw the switch, You will ride 7 times. 7 times is 7 years of the tribulation. The church, you're not going to fly away, I'm telling you. You have to have a Passover of the death angel, and it's going to happen for you in the tribulation. 7 times is the 7 years of the tribulation. The furnace in Daniel was heated 7 times. A time is used for a year, as we see in Revelation 12, 6 and 14. 7 times. This coaster also had 7 small hills, and it was not scary to us. Well, the harlot is represented by the 7 hills of Rome, right? And it's not scary to us either, is it? We know our Father has control over all that. Matt was in the last third coaster car, sleeping with his head resting on his numeric Bible. The Lord speaks to us in ways we can understand. We believe that that represents the renewed mind of the pure Word, right? And Ellie was in the middle car, sleeping with her China doll that had a little white sundress on with little blue flowers. And I was in the front car, clutching my iPod to my heart with my eyes wide open. Hey, that's good. Eyes wide open. That's what we got to do, right? So, you know, we've had dreams of the man-child coming in a spring. And I'm sure that it could be both physical spring and a natural spring. I hope so. I always have hope to see the Lord at the very soonest moment. And I begin to look at the types and the shadows and the things that offer that. And, well, Father, we desire our Lord Jesus Christ. We desire Him to come and lead us through this tribulation. We desire His presence. It would be our joy, just as it was in the dreams of Eve meeting Him in type and shadow, and was full of joy. And Lord, send us our joy. Send our Lord Jesus Christ. Send forth the epiphany, Lord, the shining forth from us of His life and His glory, His Word, His Spirit. Lord, please do a quick work in us in preparing us to meet the coming of the Lord, that we will know Him in every way. Father, we desire earnestly to know Him in every way, even before we see Him, like Eve knew Him before she met Him, but she was so joyful to meet Him. She recognized Him. Lord, the religious leaders didn't recognize You, and they won't today. The one that people think is their leader probably will know and recognize You less than they would if they're studying the Word. It's always that way with the religious leaders. They have something to protect. Their pocketbooks, their ego, they have something to protect. They're always trying in competition with one another. The factious people, the factious leaders are competition. They're trying to steal sheep, you know, from the man-child even before he's anointed. Like David, who shepherded the father's sheep and killed the lion and the bear to protect them, and so on and so forth. And but these people, they want to take over. They have an ego to rule. Just like the worldly leaders in Jesus' day, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they have that kind of a lust in them which disqualifies them to be in the bride or the man-child bodies. But Lord, You know them. And we know them the more you show us them hiding in our midst, you know, putting on airs and acting the part but not living the life. Your faction makes them show up to be so foolish. And we see them hiding. They've been hiding. They've been putting on an act to be acceptable to those around them. And they're hiding in our midst. And you permit that for a while. But this faction shows them up for the foolish people that they are. And Lord, we pray that we're coming to the end of the cleansing of the barn so that your glory may come forth. And this rebuilding of the kingdom of God will go forth over the whole world. And Lord, we're eagerly looking forward to this. We want so much Ezekiel 34 to come to pass when the Lord will be sick and tired of the evil shepherds ruling over his people and will come and will show them for who they are and will lead your people personally in this world through your man-child, David, in that text. And Lord, and even then, you know, David will then go forth in Ezekiel 35 to destroy the Edomites, those who have persecuted your people, Lord. The Esau's against the Israel, against the Jacob. And the man-child will put them down. He will put garrisons in their cities to control them and so on and so forth, like David did. And in a spiritual way, though. Lord, we look forward to these things. We tire of the Edomites. We tired of their constant hatred against Jacob, your Israel, your church, your true church, your bride. We tire of these things, Lord. We thank you that we're closer and closer to the cleaning up of that barn, Lord. We're thankful and eager to look forward to the days of your coming and walking in our midst again, Lord. And we know that many will not recognize you because they haven't become familiar with your word, Lord. And but we will know you because we've been very familiar with your word and we've been watching what you've been saying to us through the parables, preparing us for your coming. And we're eager to see you, Lord. Oh, please come quickly, Lord Jesus. We tire of this world. We need your strength. We need the joy that Eve felt when she met you. Even though she knew you before, she had never met you on that level. And that's what we're hungering for, Lord. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We need you. We need you to save us from the Edomites, to judge this wicked world, to shake everything that can be shaken so that the things that cannot be shaken will remain, which is your kingdom. We want the world to know the difference between your kingdom and the kingdom of the world, which the religious leaders here don't have the foggiest idea what the difference is. And they have led your people into the world rather than out of the world. And they've given the example of Judas's and Satan rather than the examples of the early church fathers of the Lord Jesus and his apostles. Lord, we need your example here that the world may know that there is a God in Israel, in the New Testament spiritual Israel, that there is a God in Israel. Lord, let your anointing flow. Let your revival begin. Lord, help us to get on our BDUs. Help us to get on our shirt dress up of the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be prepared to go into the wilderness. Help us, Lord. Turn on the light, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we might see clearly to get dressed up of the Lord Jesus Christ and not make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this mighty move of your Spirit, Lord. Thank you for drawing us and causing us to run after you like the Shulamite in Song of Solomon, like Esther, who came out from among the women to go to the king's house and was a permanent fixture of the king's house. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let us know what your bride looks like, Lord. It's a sad thing we read in Song of Solomon, how that the queens and the virgins and the concubines are saying, "Return, return, O Shulamite, that we may look upon thee." They, too late, want to know what the bride looks like. Lord, we read your word. We know that your bride is a product of the word, just like the Lord Jesus is a product of the word. She looks like the word. She obeys the word. She fears you. She departs from evil. She has love for you, so she keeps your commandments. She has love for your people, so she keeps her commandments towards your people. And Lord, that's what we want. We want you to show us, what does this bride look like? Show your people, Lord. And Lord, it's about to be too late for people to get recognition of that, because they're missing the bride. And some who were in the bride because they decided not to go on have lost their crown. Others are coming to pick them up with joy. They appreciate your gift at the cross. They appreciate the grace that you show towards your people who believe in you. They appreciate this. Others have taken you for granted and been taken over by ego and given in to the world, given in to the beast, giving in to Antichrist spirits. They've been taken out. Oh, that's a sad thing, Lord. You showed us the other day that at first you were offering for them to return and to be in the bride, but now you've withdrawn that offer, that when people fall into the faction, they will no longer be accepted in the bride because all turned down your offer of grace. As one dream showed us very clearly, they turned it down. Lord, we pity, especially the people who are falling away at the very end and missing out on what they could have had a part in. We pity them. We ask, Lord, that you have mercy and at least bring them back under the jurisdiction of the bride and, of course, the man-child. We ask that you do a quick work, Father, in delivering your people so that they are prepared to go into the wilderness. Lord, we need that baptism in the cloud and in the sea to be ready for this wilderness. We need to be filled with your Spirit, Lord. We need to be baptized in your water that puts to death the old man and brings to life the new man. That water of your word. We need this, Lord. We need the revelation of your word to go forth to prepare people for the coming wilderness. How many of God's people have been listening to men and are trusting in men as they go into the wilderness? These men have never walked in the wilderness like Moses. They never have. They're not qualified to lead God's people there. People are going to be pulling their hair out because they don't understand how to cooperate with God in these days, Lord. And we're just asking you in the name of Jesus, Father, to quickly send forth our Lord Jesus to be the head of this man-child body and to show your people the way. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, the Lord, that this Sennacherib scenario, end time, northern army that's coming against the bride will be smitten. Thank you, Father, that the bride will be spared in order, as Joel 2 says, to receive this great outpouring of your Spirit instead. Oh, praise you, Father, that not one arrow will be fired into Jerusalem, Lord. And that as you gave us recently, the word that you gave to Jehoshaphat, fear not, Jehoshaphat, fear not, people of Jerusalem, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. And you went forth and smote those three armies, which also represent three different factions, so that they killed each other off, and the bride was spared. Oh, praise you, Father. Praise you for this end of this cleaning up of the barn, getting the beasts out of the barn, making room for the saints of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this mighty, mighty work that you're doing among your people. And thank you, saints, for joining us today. And may God pour out His Spirit on you. May you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, mind, and soul, and keep His commandments. Amen.